For as you think in your heart, so are you. So what you get in here is eventually going to come out. The human mind is far more complex than the biggest computer that has ever been designed. And the basic principle is always the same. Whatever you put in is what's going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. I read this, and I don't know who it was that said this, and I don't know who it was that counted this, but it's kind of weird. The average person has about 10,000 separate thoughts every day. Let that sink in. That works out to about 3.5 million thoughts a year, each one of us. Now, as I said, I don't know how do you count those things? I don't know how that in the world they do that. But anyway, almost every one of us this morning has had at least 2,000 thoughts since we got up. That's amazing. Wow. And each of those thoughts represent a choice that you have to make. With that thought, what are you going to do with it? God gave us 10,000 thoughts a day. But it's up to you, it's up to me with what we do with those thoughts, right? So how is your thought life? Every moment of every minute of every hour of every day, we're thinking. In fact, I bet most of you here are thinking right now. Probably all of you, I think. I hope. You know, the newspapers give us things to think about, right, when we read them. TV, full of things to think about. Car radio, if you listen to your car radio, that gives you all kinds of things. If you go on the internet, it gives you way too much stuff to think about. I mean, just want to turn those things off. But with all this information that we have, it just keeps pouring in. What do we focus on? What are the thoughts that we focus on? Are we thinking without control of what we're thinking? Does it just all come flowing in and we just do whatever comes to our minds? I hope not. Are we just victims of outside forces? No, I don't think so. We can control our thoughts, can't we? Of course we can. And that's what Susan read this morning in chapter 4, verse 8. Paul gives us a list of things. And he shared really a spiritual test. So we're going to take a test this morning. I know some of you didn't study for this test. Probably all of you didn't study for this test. It's a pop quiz kind of thing. And what it is how do you gain control of your thought life so that you can live a holy and joyful life? How do you do that? Well, here's the first test. It's called the reliance test. The reliance test. I hope you write these down. Paul said the very first thing, finally, brethren, whatever things are, what's the first one? True. Whatever things are true. Is the thought that you're having right now true? Remember, we're all thinking. Everybody thinks. Can you rely on that thought? You see, we live in a generation today that really doesn't ask, is it true? They just say, does it work? And there's a great deal of difference in those two. Does it work? We're not to let anything stay in our minds that isn't true. Now, Satan's going to put thoughts in our minds all the time. We have to recognize what they are, and we have to deal with them right away. Don't dwell on some of these things. If it isn't true, get it out of your mind. That's only going to degrade what happens in your life if you continue to get those kinds of things and keep them. Don't let it be part of your thought pattern. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is what's going to set you free. So we have the reliance test. Is it true? Here's the second one. The respect test. These are all R's, okay? Reliance, the second one is respect. Second thing. Whatever things are noble. That word noble is the word honorable, worthy of reverence. In other words, is it honest? Is your thoughts honest? What you're thinking now, is it honest? Do you let dishonorable things get into your mind? Are there things you think about that really are not worthy of your respect at all? Some things are not bad because they're vile or evil. They're just bad because they're silly and they're stupid thoughts, and they shouldn't be in our minds anyway. Remember, what goes in there is eventually going to come back out. I think I said this before. The old farmer said, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. You don't put hoping to get water when you got water down there and you don't get Kool-Aid coming back up. Whatever's down there is going to come up. So we need to be sure that they are honorable thoughts. Peter said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So you have, is it true? Is it honest? Here's the third one, the rightness test. And it's, is it just? This word means straight as opposed to crooked. Is it straight? You see, anything that's unrealistic, unreliable, disrespectful should not stay in your mind. Remember I said now, Satan will put things in your mind, but if you look at it and it's dishonest or desirable, undesirable, yeah, that's it, undesirable, you're supposed to get it out of your mind right away. Don't allow it to stay there. See, what we need to think is the thought I'm thinking right? Not is it right in my eyes, not is it right in someone else's eyes, is it right in God's eyes? Because we have come to this generation now where what we call relative truth. You know what relative truth is, right? It all depends on your relatives. Whatever your relatives think, that's relative truth. That's not truth, folks. Truth comes from the Word of God. Is it right in God's sight? If your thoughts were broadcast for the world to hear, would you be ashamed? Would you be embarrassed? If others knew what you were thinking, what would they think of you? Wow, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Paul says there are certain thoughts that are not to stay in your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul said, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself to the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All of our thoughts, every one of them. Here's number 4, the reverence test. Is it pure? Is it pure? That word means free from contamination. Free from contamination. Undefiled. Clean. Holy. That's what we ought to be looking at as far as our thoughts are concerned. It touches all of the area of moral purity in a Christian's life. Originally, that word was used to describe an animal or an object that was pure enough to be used in worship. Something that could be offered to God. So here's the question. Can I take that thought and offer it to the Lord? Boy, that would wipe out a lot of thoughts, wouldn't it? Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Is it pure? Here's number 5. Is it lovely? Now, that word doesn't mean beautiful. It means causing you to love. Does this thought cause you to love? Or does it cause you to criticize? Or bring division, then it's wrong. Just flat out wrong. Let me say it another way. It's wrong. That's it. We're to think about things that cause us to move out in love toward other people. Old song, this will date me pretty good. It's called Accentuate the Positive, Eliminate the Negative, and Don't Mess with Mr. In-Between. Right? Accentuate the positive. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, Moses said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In our thought life, we ought to be worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Is the thought lovely? So here so far we've got, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Here's number 6. Is it of good report? And that's the refinement test. So we have reliance, respect, rightness, reverence, relationship, and refinement. Good report. And that literally means to think about things which sound good. Think about things that sound good. That ought to shut down gossip right away, shouldn't it? Because gossip normally is spreading bad reports about other people. That's what gossip is. We're supposed to be people who have good reports. Those are the things that we ought to be sharing, the good reports that we have. And that comes from thinking good thoughts. When that thought comes, analyze the thought. You say, Pastor, I don't know. You've given us all these things. That's kind of hard to do real quickly, isn't it? No. It's not hard to do at all. It really isn't. What it means is, are we editing our words so we delete? Everybody knows what delete means now, right? You got a computer, you know what delete is. Fortunately for the new computers now, when you go to hit delete, there's a little thing that comes up and it says, are you sure you want to delete this? Because when you delete it, it's gone. And we have learned from NCIS that that's not true. Because Abby can go get that stuff after you've deleted it. So, I mean, we need to delete the non-admirable things from our vocabulary. Now, even though some things may be true, that doesn't mean we should dwell on them or we should share them, for that matter. In fact, Paul said in Ephesians 5:12, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. I mean, it's spread all over the newspapers. It's spread all over the internet. It's all over TV, sexual sin, gross forms of idolatry, areas of Satan. They're putting up a church of Satan here. I mean, this stuff is going crazy. Those kinds of things should be off limits for the people of God. We ought not to think about those things. Don't focus on the evil around you, and don't be foolish enough to think, I can expose myself to sin so that I'll know what it's like. Are you kidding me? Who just said that? Oh, that was me, wasn't it? We're not to do that. That's like the drunkard who said, I'm going to set this bottle of whiskey on the table so they'll remind me that I'm not going to drink anymore. Nonsense. Get it out of your house. Get it far away from you. That's not the way to do it. Listen, we see enough sin around us. You don't have to lift the top off a sewer to know what it smells like, do you? No. See, sin is so sinful that we should stay away from it, as far away from it as we can. And then it's interesting because Paul gives us two catch-all categories right there at the end. If there's anything is excellent, if there's anything that's praiseworthy. Excellent means virtuous, good, lovely. Praiseworthy means things that God would approve. Is it morally excellent? Is it something God would approve of? Paul says, if it is, think on those things. Those are the things we ought to be thinking on. And folks, that's a command in the present tense. That means we're to continually think on those things. Not on the negatives, not on the horrible things in life. Remember, they can come into your mind, but you need to filter them right out. You need to think on those things which lift us up. Find the true and think about it. Find the lovely. Find the noble. Find the virtuous. And do what verse 9 says. When that happens, the God of peace will be with you. Peace of God? Yeah. It goes, starts right up here in your thought life. In fact, everything we do starts up here, doesn't it? It's a thought before it's a deed. From a deed comes a way of life, and from a way of life comes a character. And the character is what God's looking for, the right kind of character. Those who think on these things experience God's peace in their lives. Now, all of us fight the tendency to let our minds dwell on negative things. How can we not in the society that we live? So how do you change your mind? How do you do it? Well, I think we want to take Paul's advice seriously. Remember I said GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So the question is, what music do you listen to? What books do you read? What shows you watch on TV? What are your hobbies? What about your daydreams? Remember I said 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul said we're to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And in order to do that, you've got to look at the sources of your input. What are you putting into your life? Because what you put into your life is what's going to come out of your life. See, you come to church for an hour, and then the rest of the week you are bombarded with falsehoods, with evil, with impurity, with sin. It's all over the place. So don't think that an hour on Sunday is going to somehow remove all the trash that piles in on you. It won't. You need to make a choice. Decide to choose to do right. And that gets back to examining the places you go, the friends that you have, the surroundings of your life. Paul said, bad company corrupts good character. Ooh. You see, you become like the people you hang around with. If they're angry, guess what? That's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to get angry too. If they're negative and they're hostile and they're critical and filled with self-pity, convinced the world has cheated them, everybody's out to get them, that stuff will rub off on you, folks, if you're around it long enough. You never get a new mind unless you examine your friends and the impact that they have on your life. Someone has well said, you are not what you think you are, but what you are, you think. You're not what you think you are, but what you are, but what you think you are. And that brings us right back to where we started. As you think in your heart, so are you. That's where you are. What you think today, you become tomorrow. Your mind is the best predictor of your future. What are you filling your mind with? If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry thoughts, angry's going to follow. You dwell on your problems, they're going to overwhelm you. They really are. If you feel like a victim, you'll become one. You'll become a victim. When you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. We talked about that last week. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you're going to become angry and bitter. Remember, what goes in has got to come out. And sooner or later, your thoughts translate into reality. It's going to be there. But you know what? The flip side is true. It really is. You focus on the truth, you speak the truth. You look for noble things, and nobility marks your life. If you're seeking out lovely things, that's what's going to be in your life. If you dwell on that which is right, then the wrong has no attraction for you whatsoever. If you think pure thoughts, you're pure. See, focus on the good, on the pure, on the true, on the holy, on the right, on the lovely. Find those things that elevate your mind and think on them. See, we have the power within us. Each one of us who is a Christian has the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And we should be willing, and we are able, but we should be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. You can literally change your mind if you want to. And you know how you do it? By remembering that all that is best is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He's the most noble Son of God. He's the standard of righteousness. He's the fountain of purity. He is altogether lovely. He is admirable, he is the source of all virtue, and he's the God in whom we entirely place our trust. He's walking proof of what Paul has commanded us to do. So if we get with the Lord Jesus, we're joined to the highest moral power there is, we have victory. See, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. We have the victory, and it's all in the Lord Jesus. Think on these things, Paul said. That's not some abstract philosophy. It's a personal relationship. Is Christ in your thoughts? Think about Him. Think about His love. Live in the Lord. Because when He reigns in your life, then you'll love what's good and you'll hate what's bad. You'll love the truth and you'll hate what's false. You'll love the pure and you'll hate the dirty. He changes us from the inside out. If you trust Him, you give Him your life, He'll not only be your companion, He'll set you on the solid rock and He'll transform your desires. Remember, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you are delighting yourself in the Lord, your desires are His desires. And He pulls you up from the bitterness, from resentment, from impurity, from dishonesty, from pessimism, all of those things, He can lift you up. So I guess the question is, do you want to change your mind? Do you? I do. I want to change my mind. You don't have to say where you are. When we walk with Him and talk with Him and learn of Him, that's when you find it easy to think on those things. That's the filter that we need to use as Christians. If our life is going to mean anything, if our witness is going to be anything at all, we've got to filter our thought life so that it conforms to the image of His Son. What about your thoughts this morning? Are they righteous? Are they good? Do we think really like Christians? Do we live like Christians? See, Paul gave us a blueprint for thinking. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on those things. The things you've learned and received and heard in me, Paul said, do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the proper way to do GIGO. G-I-G-O. God in, God out. That's the way that we're supposed to live our lives. You living that way today? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for the admonition we have, the commands You give us. Lord, I pray that we be faithful to follow You. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit has spoken to each one of us this morning. I know He spoke to me. And I pray that we would be faithful to do what You've commanded us to do. We love You. We thank You. And as we come before You to share our communion together with one another, with You, to remember You until You come again. And just trust that our lives would be open and pleasant and good before You, and that we can share the cup, share the drink in holiness and in loveliness. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we prepare for communion this morning, I want you to just listen to